Well, hello again there, folks. So the YouTube channel's been gathering a bit of dust recently, so I thought I've something's been on my mind, and I thought I would do one of my good old-fashioned ramble and monologues. So I don't really have a script, or I've got a few bullet points. I've been really busy on the Substack, because as we'll probably see as I get into my chat here, I just get sick and tired. Either you've got to do a scripted video on YouTube now, or you're just constantly using like clever little ways to get around saying what you mean and code words, and it just gets tiring, and I just get sick and tired of it. And I feel much more at ease, and it feels much more of a stable platform on Substack for myself. I mean, in the end of the day, YouTube has a disincentive structure for content creators, and they seem to be ramping up the censorship again. There's more things coming in. But whatever, that wasn't really. I mean, I've got tons of stuff up on Substack, the Morgcast podcasts. If I go somewhere and to have a chat to somebody, it goes on there. And then obviously, the vast majority of it is written essays and articles and things. But today I felt like sort of blowing the dust off the YouTube channel and having a good old fashioned ramble. But I should say, like, this is going to get pretty dark. And if you've got a fondness, especially for squeaky things and little fluffy animals, like, you might get a little bit upset about this. Because I wanted to enter, just this is just a sort of some stray thoughts that I've been having recently. Well, which I've been having for a few years, but especially it was sort of encapsulated over the last week, the other day. So I've got a terrier, a very active and tough little terrier, a cross between a Jack Russell and a Border Terrier. And I'd say in her throughout her lifetime, she's getting on. She's 10 now, so she's no longer as fast as what she once was, but she's become very, very good at catching things. Even though she's lost that edge, she's v much more patient now. She doesn't get carried away. She can control herself, and she stalks and runs things down in a more strategic way than what she did when she was younger. She would just chase them all over the place, and I'd say she's killed like 200 creatures in her career, if you want to call it that. I lost count last year when we went ratting. After the harvest, there was this for some reason there was just rats all everywhere in the field, like I've never seen before, and she was killing like five or six a day, and I just lost count of her kill count, if you like. But last week, this is where it's gonna get a little bit dark. Last week I was we out walking with the dog, and I was about 200 yards ahead of her. She was in the brambles, and I heard this horrible squealing, and I know by now that it's a rabbit. It's she had a rabbit, but this time I'd never heard a rabbit squeal as much as this. It was really quite horrific, and it went on and on. Like it lasted for maybe the best part of a minute, when the other times it would have maybe been 10 seconds to 15 seconds at the most. This just went on and on, and I went back to see like what was going on. It was a cacophony of screaming and squealing, and it was really unpleasant. And I went back to where I heard all of this noise going. You can hear the rustling and the crackling in the brambles. And by the time I got there, the rabbit was, well, it wasn't quite dead, but it was on its way. I finished it off, but the whole setup that I saw was kind of odd. It was kind of it was a strange thing to see, because they were both, the dog and the rabbit, completely tangled up in the brambles. And normally that doesn't happen. Normally a rabbit will just bolt through the brambles like it's not even there. The dog will struggle. The dog gets tangled up in them, and it's more like it's just powering its way through the brambles. It's a bit of a mess. It comes out covered in thorns. But I've seen 1,000 rabbits just bolt straight through the brambles. But for whatever reason, this one, what had happened was that it had got caught in the brambles and it couldn't move. It couldn't get away. But my dog couldn't get at it very easily either because the brambles were so thick. And so what I think had happened was that this rabbit had had become entangled in the brambles, and my dog had also become entangled in the brambles, and the rabbit panicked and did that thing where rabbit, you know, when you hear people say where the rabbit it kind of shuts down and it has a kind of shock moment, and that happened in the brambles. And it ended up just squealing in terror while my dog gradually made its way toward it. And it would have been kind of like a fly in a web, or something like that. And it just had to sort of wait until the dog eventually fought its way through the brambles and got to it and killed it. And all this time, like, that's why it took so long. And all of this time, it was screaming in absolute terror. And this is all pretty grim stuff, you know. We like to tell ourselves that in nature, I mean, it's all over very quickly, and that's not actually the case. It isn't always over very quickly at all. And one of the reasons why it isn't over very quickly, and I saw this with the dog, I took them both out. The dog had the rabbit between its teeth, and I got them onto a, I took them out anyway, onto the main field, to see what the damage was and just try and sort the whole mess out. And the reaction of the dog was kind of just staring at the rabbit in curiosity, and the rabbit by this time was dead. And the key here is that the dog was just completely incapable of showing empathy. The rabbit was programmed to show panic. It feared, obviously. But then the other side of that was that the dog is just had no empathy for the suffering of the rabbit, whatsoever. And this is why it seems so cold and but not callous. Because it isn't also malicious. The dog is not really gloating so much, though I have seen, I wouldn't call it gloating, but I have seen very sort of quite happy after killing something. At any rate, the issue here is that empathy just didn't exist. It just doesn't exist in the natural world between animals whatsoever. And it's very dark to consider that. It's very dark to consider a world completely devoid of any kind of empathy or any kind of human feeling, and especially when you see and hear this, what that results in is this kind of terror in the face of something which can't even process or care about your fear, about your angst, about the fact that you don't want to die or be injured, or you can't get out of this trap that you're in. And it's very dark. It's a very, but what really was the rabbit was staring at there is this world without feeling, without caring, without empathy, and nothing. I mean, it's always amazed me that the rabbits, of all the kills that she's made of the rabbits, have got very powerful hind legs. And I've often thought, like, when they're cornered like that, I mean, that one was a bit tangled up, but when they are cornered like that, why don't they kick her in the face as she's about to sink her teeth in or something like that? Because it would give the dog pause for shock, but it's just not in the rabbit to do that. They don't have fight, they have flight, and then that's it. And I couldn't help but notice the, I think what caught me, what there was a little bell ringing in my mind when I was pondering over this really quite grim little bit of drama in the fields out walking me dog, that this complete lack of empathy is something I think's on the rise in our world, in among humans. And you see it all the time. I mean, I've been writing things recently about whether something is malicious or incompetence. Leaving aside the sort of the nefarious schemes of the elites and this kind of thing, back down in terms of the daily news grind, in terms of what you see on social media, what the shitlibs are, what their mentality is. It is similarly, I think, something which is completely devoid of empathy, and it's something that I've noticed more and more. I mean, I mentioned before that I've noticed it for a while, and it was mainly around the narratives around certain medical procedures, excess deaths. Like, I'm not saying, like, just the fact that there was almost no interest in that. Whatever the reason for it was, you know, it's like, and it's still going on, but it's like, it's now just considered something which is old news. It's 5 or 6 or 10 news cycles away, so we'll just ignore it. It doesn't matter anymore, even though it's still happening. And these, I mean, I watch that Dr. John Campbell stuff sometimes, and he will point out that it's not just statistics here. Like, this is somebody dying in their home. That's the homes. Is the what's unusual about it is that people are dropping dead in their homes, and what for whatever reason, and it's happening more than what it used to, and there's a person there, often it's young people there, but there's doesn't seem to be any interest in it for this suffering. And a while ago on Twitter, for whatever reason, some kind of algorithmic thing maybe, I don't know what it was. But there was there was videos everywhere of, and this is what I hate about YouTube. But let's say there was videos swamping Twitter and social media, but especially Twitter, of, let's say, urban youth committing random acts of violence and murders on people of European descent. Hopefully I'll get away with that on this rat bastard platform. And it was everywhere, and I was thinking, I wonder how the lefties are they seeing this? Because this is horrible. It was just this endless sort of circulation of these sort of snuff videos. I mean, when I was young, there was a video did around called Faces of Death, which was like real life killings. And it was all very grainy, and now you see it in high definition on social media, like literally every day. And back then, that was a shocking thing, because outside of the movies, most people had never been exposed to something like that before. But now it's just becomes the daily grind of social media consumption. And so I was interested in what all these videos were going around everywhere, and I thought, I wonder what the shitlib lefty social media types are making of this. How are they spinning it? What's their counter narrative to these urban youth random acts of violence that we're seeing everywhere? So I watched, there's a YouTuber called Vouch, and I saw that he had something up about it, and he was predictably saying, well, this is just the far right, you know, that's using this to spread hatred of the urban youth, and all of this kind of thing. Now, he had Twitter open on his computer as he was speaking to camera, and there was a video that came out at that time where there was a white man sitting on a curb, and then one of them, the urban youth, came up from behind and executed him, just shot him in the back of the head. And this video came up when Vouch was doing his thing. And I knew the video because I had seen it, and what he did, because he was going all the way through these things on the Twitter feed, and this video was just playing in the background, and then he just sort of casually turned away and went off on like complaining about Elon Musk's Twitter or whatever it was. And I thought, like there's a man being executed on your computer screen there. Like, there's so, not only does this run completely counter to your worldview, but even just in terms of the fact that this sort of indifference to a man being murdered in broad daylight. On that's the video that you've just turned away from to kind of go off on a tangent and moan about Elon Musk or whatever. This complete indifference to what is barbarism. It is just raw barbarism, which is coming. And the act itself was wholly and entirely malicious. Obviously, it was. It was just a murder. But then you get the indifference. You get the indifference to what has just taken place, which I just find alien and completely odd. That there's no shock, there's no interest in the person who's just been executed like that. It's just something to not even take any notice of and turn away from. And it's possible that this is social media's fault, that everybody's become saturated in this. But I think it's something else. I think there's something going wrong. And it's interesting, when we think of the general decline in standards and the rise of this toxic ideology, which makes claims to a universalism. Now, I've never claimed to have a sort of universal empathy. I am more empathetic to people, again, YouTube, that are like me. Than I am to everybody in the world. I don't have this communistic mindset where everybody in the world is of equal value. There are the people who are more closely related to me. I have more empathy for them than others. I find that to be perfectly normal, and just the way things are in the world. But the left have done this thing where it doesn't work like that at all. It's like everybody has to be, there's a kind of universal, there's an assumption of a universal empathy, which is untrue. It just isn't the fact. And you can see it in how they pick and choose who to worry about and who to cry over. And in this case, of course, the man being executed on the pavement, he didn't warrant that. But the one, in fact, the person doing it did. But if I'm honest, I think these people, they don't really have any empathy for any of these client groups, these protected groups, these minorities either, because it's purely political. And so I think it's just a matter of a political narrative being spun. But if you remove that from the equation, and you've also removed the viability of having this kind of universal empathy, then what are they left with? There's just nothing there. It's just a void. It's just an abyss of nihilism, really. They're not capable of actually having normal human being. A new normal human being's sensitivity to seeing things like that. It just doesn't seem to exist. So what we're talking about really is a class of sociopaths. If they were to take some kind of test, like you see in something like Blade Runner, where they've got a test if they're the person is human or not, through an empathy test, because the robots or replicants or whatever, they can't do that, so they can get caught out. These people wouldn't pass that test. They'd come across. They'd be categorized as robots. And probably the ultimate example of this already memory hole in the news cycle would be the transsexual who stormed a school and started shooting people, six people, three of them children, two little girls and a boy, and some adults. And the entire American establishment came out on the side of the killer. Like literally, it was the killer, this lunatic, in a way, like a creation of the machine. It was a pu the identity, the motivation, all of it was a purely political robot automaton, which had been created by the academia, by the media. By the politics, by social media, by the entire power structure, had created what in effect was a Terminator that was going to go out there, blow a gasket, and then the system backed that person up. But I think like the humanity of the thing, the actual real person inside was gone. And what you had instead was nothing but like a sort of machine to carry the ideas and the hatred and the prejudices of the system itself, and it carried it out to the nth degree, and then without empathy, without anything. And then you had all of the fellow machines of the system like fawning around this maniac. It was absolutely disgusting, and people straight away were thinking, this is wrong, this is dark. Like, this is really, really dark, that this maniac can storm a school and then start killing people, and they are the victim, and the families, the people, they're all just forgotten about. And I remember I watched the video of of the police going in. There was a, the, and it was really it stuck with me, and I wanted to write an article about it. I just kind of put it to one side, because I watched it again and again, and what you had was the cops were of European descent, and that it was almost like an example of these men struggling against entropy, darkness, and chaos, which was on the brink of overwhelming civilization. And it was like the cop pulled up, and there was a teacher standing outside of the school, and the teacher was like, say, giving a few directions, and then the cop that was in the south was, so he had a like a sort of good old boy accent, and he was like, "Okay, ma'am, okay, ma'am," and he took the whatever gun it was out of the back of the police car, and then his all the other cops were waiting at the door, and they went in, and when they went into the school, there was like the three or four alarms ringing at the same time, but slightly overlapping each other. Now, when I was at school, we had a bell. We had a very light, very almost gentle bell, an alarm bell for to tell you that it was dinner time, or to tell you that class was over, or to tell you that it was a fire. You had to go outside for a fire drill. It was just a bell, and here in this school in America, presumably because they've had to get used to school shootings by this point, for whatever reason, it isn't. It's like it seems to be a general trend in America, which is again like just rising entropy in my view, for whatever the reasons. Like people want to sort of give their own side a pass for it. I just see it as general decay into madness. So you had all of these alarms, like air raid sirens going off in the school, which signified pure crisis. And let's not forget, a school is supposed to be a place of safety. And then they made their way through, very professional. They did a great job, and they got to the target in the end. There was a brief shootout, and then they just riddled the maniac killer full of bullets. But I couldn't help but get the impression that this'll happen again, and then it'll happen again, and then it'll happen again. And all of it speaks to this idea that these men are, I don't know how long they're going to be able to cope with this. I don't know, because when we talk about sort of the ideology, it tends to be in terms of an intellectual sense. But I think this particular age that we're living in is bringing in something else, which is dark, and which is a complete lack of human normal decency in any way. Although, because what they're doing is turning people into just abstractions, into sort of political talking points and narratives. They don't actually exist in the real world, and so what they do is view people with this. They view barbarism And I'm talking about the sort of the shit libs and this transsexual who did the killing. And it's up to these cops who are on the front lines to deal with this rising chaos. Like the elves in Lord of the Rings, they're fighting the long defeat. And I think that this kind of lack of empathy, this lack of normal human decency, is something which has slipped in with this mindset in which there is no universal empathy. There's just politics, and the politics has hollowed out the human parts of it. And in a way, we've seen this before. You've seen it across the world all of the time, where you used to ask yourself, I used to ask myself, how was it possible that people could be put in gulags? How was it possible that when they made the canal from Leningrad to Moscow or whatever it was, and they used human bodies as filler, as like aggregate, because they ran out of concrete and this kind of thing. And it's because of this. It's because the empathy is sort of erased by the political identity. And it has almost metaphysical aspects to it, which are unbelievably dark. And I found I was looking at the dog, and the lack of feeling, the lack of interest in the pain and the suffering of the rabbit. And I see it. I see it. People like that behaving in a similar way. And it's kind of like we're just entering into this era, this of this rising darkness, this rising chaos, where so many people are just going to have this blank look on their face. We talk about NPCs, which is to say that the NPCs are just these programmed automatons that speak they're just full of a few basic lines which have been given to them by other people, which is true, which is another, which is a something else, which is like a meme which didn't go away because it something uncomfortable was revealed about the human condition by that meme. And I think what we see now is that something else comes with it, and it's that these hollow people, they don't have feelings in a normal way. And I know we've said it for years, oh, the left is evil, the shit libs are NPCs, they're evil. But there's something else coming in with that, which is positively psychotic, and it's spreading itself. It's tentacles. It's like a sort of mind virus. People are calling it a mind virus. And one of the aspects to it is that there's a sort of psychotic, there's something really awful about it, where terrible things happen and they don't care. They just look the other way. They won't process it in their minds. These are the people who will man gulags and firing squads and things like that. And it's like we've kind of been waiting for it to get this bad for some time, but it seems to be here now. It seems to be here. We seem to be in this age where barbarism gets a pass by these people, and they've got the power. So we have to be prepared for this, and we don't. We have to cling on to being at least human. Which these because these people appear to be losing that there's something not right happening to them. But anyway, just some rather gloomy thoughts there, folks. I'll catch you later. Take care out there.